Hello, and welcome to another live episode of Butterfly Evolution. We are so thankful that you are once again joining us in on our topic tonight as we discuss forgiveness. I do see that we have several callers coming into queue and want to start by, first of all, thanking our loyal listeners. I want to give one special thanks to a very loyal listener. She is always the first to come in queue, and I'm just going to call her out tonight. She is Latasha from Georgia, and I think she's been the first person to come into queue since day one. So just want to give a thanks to her for just for being so on target and so dedicated to listening to the show. So thanks to you, Latasha from Georgia. We're hopeful that we have several new listeners tonight. Several posts have generated some comments and some likes and some thanks were some of the things that we were getting back, and it kind of went to some additional discussions. So we're expecting some new people tonight. Want to say thank you to all of our new listeners, and we hope that you just find yourself at ease and hope that you are comfortable with tuning in and making a comment. In saying that, if you are listening online, for those of you who are repeat listeners, you do know by now, hopefully, that if you are wanting to make a comment or have a question, please select the number one. You can do that at any time during the show. For your new listeners, again, if you are interested in making a comment or have a question, you'll need to select the number one, and you can do that at any time during the show, preferably sooner than later. So try to get your number selected so that we know that you do have a question or a comment. We don't want to wait until the last few minutes of the show, which is what has been happening lately. So, again, don't feel like you have to wait for us to get our point or our views out. If you have something to share, you know, be comfortable making that comment or sharing your opinion prior to, because this is not just about how we feel about one particular subject or topic. It is a collectively, we want to bring our thoughts together collectively in hopes of helping everyone, because none of us have the same opinion of a certain topic, but our goal is the same, and that's to get through whatever it is we're going through, whatever bondages, whatever things are holding us captive, those things that are keeping us from truly living. So that being said, you do not have to wait until we are finished with what we have to share on this. Tika, are you online with us?
I am.
Okay. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good.
I'm great. Still kind of just being in these separate locations.
Yes. For those of you who do not know, Tika and I are now in separate locations. Tika has relocated to Texas, so it has brought some challenges, but we are working through them, and it's always difficult to share the show and not be able to see our expressions when, you know, we're not feeling something or something seems off, you know. So it's a little difficult, but so far we're doing good. I want to remind you that the chat line is open. I can see it this time. I've neglected several people in this, and I do apologize. After the show, I was able to see that we did have some people that were commenting, and they were doing so through our chat line. So I have it up tonight. I see it right now. So if you're more comfortable with sending us your comment, and you do have to be a registered follower of the show in order for your comment to come through the chat line. And the way you do that is you do have to be registered with one of the social networks, I think is what it's called. And that's like Facebook. Really all it is right now for us is Facebook. I don't know how I can or if I can deal with one more social network. So have not did the Twitter thing. So right now we're just on Facebook, and that would be the way that you have to register to be a follower of the show. That gets you updated, and that also allows you to submit your comment by chat. So if you're not a follower, you have to select the number one. You can listen to the show online, but you cannot send us a chat. So if you want to make a comment, have a question, you have to call in to the number in order to be able to do that, and you have to select number one. So moving along, Tika, do you have anything before we get going, anything you want to share before we start?
No, just I guess I'll just kind of see where you're heading with the forgiveness, and if you want to talk on forgiveness, I can give some pointers on unforgiveness, but I'll let you go ahead and start, and and I'll just follow you from there.
Okay. Well, before going into it, I did forget one thing. If we are disconnected, and it's very unlikely that we both will be disconnected because we're coming in to the show from different in a different manner. I'm coming actually through the network. So if you ever, you know, if you don't hear me talking, Tika's going to just take it over, and I'll immediately sign back on. But please do not disconnect because we can easily sign back on. But technology is one of those things we just do not have control over. I wish I did, but we don't. So, again, if you lose me, then Tika is going to stay on and carry on, and I'll sign back on. Well, without further ado, I'm going to move right into tonight's topic, which is forgiveness. And in searching forgiveness, of course, I think every topic has made me search my own heart and my own spirit and soul and where I am and where does it fit in my life. And this certainly is an area that I desperately need to grow in. I'll be the first to admit, and it's a process, and it will be a process for me. So I'm sure I'm not alone. I'm probably not many will admit it, but it is an area that I have to grow in, and I hope to do that, and I'm sure I will overcome it. So that being said, I want to start by reading to you a definition that I came across on forgiveness, and as I read through it, I want you to focus on a couple of words, and I'll read through it first, and then I'll come back and pull those words out that I want you to kind of put some extra thought on, and we'll go into more detail in those words as we move through the show. So the definition of forgiveness is one that states, forgiveness is typically defined as the process of concluding resentment or anger as a result of a perceived offense, difference, or mistake. And I'm going to read that again. Forgiveness is typically defined as the process of concluding resentment or anger as a result of a perceived offense. And I want to pull out the words conclude or concluding, it says, resentment or anger as a result of, and the other word is perceived offense. So we have concluding, resentment, anger, and then perceived offense. Of course, we'll start with concluding. You all know what that means, and that's just basically putting an end to, stopping. And I think if for the topic that we're talking about, forgiveness, so that's kind of putting an end to the way that you are handling or adjusting to or dealing with a certain thing. So you're putting it into whatever the feeling is of that offense. And then resentment was the second word. And resentment means feeling of displeasure towards source or a supposed injury or offense. Okay, and for the sake of this topic again, the source is going to be someone else. So anger is the synonym for resentment. And for those of you like me, I've been out of school a long time, I had to go back and think, okay, synonym, remember what that one was. And synonym is just a different word that means basically the same, has the same meaning. So it's two different words that have basically the same meaning. And we're talking about resentment and anger in this case. So they felt the need to put, you know, two words that basically mean the same thing in this definition. So interesting. That was interesting to me. So, again, anger is the synonym for resentment, which means just basically the same thing. The other word we pulled out is perceived. And this is just your view or your perception of the particular offense that has caused you to be able to forgive and, in some cases, to not be able to forgive. Now, this word bitterness was not in the definition, and I think, but it was a word that I wanted to throw in, and I think it's not there because when you talk about the bitterness, you're more on the unforgiveness side. So there's something has set in that we call bitterness, and I think again that comes when you have dealt with or have not dealt with forgiving someone. And I wanted to throw that in, and I'm going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. In looking up the bitterness or talking about bitterness, it was interesting to find that the word unforgiveness
we read the definition of forgiveness, but the word unforgiveness, I came across something that says unforgiveness is the single most popular poison that the enemy uses against God's people. Okay, so it's, again, unforgiveness. And, again, when you think about bitterness has set in. Now, I think, or I believe, I'm just going to tell you I believe, it's not a thinking part on this. I think we've really fooled ourselves in saying that we are forgiving one another, like we do in a lot of things about God's word and what it says we should do. I think we all, for the most part, we've heard enough verses in church or enough sermons in churches that talks about forgiveness and what we are supposed to do. Just like any other topic, any other subject, for the most part, we all have heard those sermons. We've been taught that this is what you are supposed to do. When it comes to forgiveness, interesting enough, I came across a couple of things, and one of them stood out to me. A couple of them stood out to me. One of them being what they call New Age forgiveness. Now, they're calling it New Age forgiveness. I think it's old school forgiveness. Some of you may disagree or have a different opinion of that. But the way they explain New Age forgiveness is we basically are supposed to see the good in people. We're supposed to focus and affirm those things which are good in people. And I agree with that. However, when it comes to forgiving someone, I think the worst thing that we can do is just continue to look see what those things that are good in that person. I'm not saying you don't ever stop looking for good, but I do think if that's all you do and you don't address whatever you're perceived, and that's one of those words that we pulled out, your perceived offense, if you don't address whatever it is this person has said, done, or anything, if you don't address it, then it's cheap forgiveness. That's another topic that kind of came up as I was doing the study for this. And for me, those things hit home because I think that's what I've been doing for quite – and I know that's all I did my entire – the first half of my life, is that I would just kind of put things – bury them internally and try to keep going. Where, well, I think that gets you to a point of bitterness because you're not dealing with what – has happened. Regardless if it's right or wrong, if you perceive it to be wrong for you or if you've been offended, your perception is that you have been offended and you do not go to that person, but you continue to be around them, you continue to try to see the good in them. As soon as something else happens, as much as you think that you have moved on and you're seeing the good, then the trigger is there. It triggers that thought. So I think what we are trying to do is we're trying to forget things rather than dealing with things so that we can forgive people. And a lot of times I don't think we go to the actual source. We go to other people. We go to other things instead of going and sitting down with this person saying, hey, look, this is what's going on. And before we can do that, if we don't do that, forgiveness is kind of out the door. And I think that's where a lot of people have ended up. To a place where they find themselves angry a lot, bitter. In some cases, I think we talked about on one show, Tika, where sometimes the show on emotions for women, how in most cases you're going off on somebody has nothing to do with what is happening now. It's because you are still back to where they hurt you, where they said something, or where you heard they said something, or they did something that you've not addressed with them. You've gone to someone else about it and this and that, but you've not addressed it with them. And in some cases, you know, not putting all of it on the person that has supposedly offended you. Sometimes people don't know that they've offended you. Sometimes they've made a set or did something out of order or out of character, and they may not know. Now, however, there's a flip side to that because I think there are people who certainly do know, and I want to get into that, but I'm going to circle back after Tika comes in and says what she has to say, and then we have some comments. So, again, sometimes people just don't know, which is another reason we should confront the offender, if that's what you want to call that person at that time, or the person that has, in your perception, you know, that they've offended you. Tika, anything you want to, I don't want to keep going too long. Do you have anything to jump
in
right now on?
Because with us talking about forgiveness, I believe a lot of people don't truly, or they may, I believe a lot of people feel that they have forgiven someone. And I want to just really stress, you know, what unforgiveness is, because a lot of times we'll think that we've forgiven, but we don't really realize that we have so much unforgiveness still left in our heart. We just may be saying with our mouth that we've forgiven them, but in our actions, it tends to contradict that. And I just truly want to stress that unforgiveness is condemnation on others. It's condemnation, and it's actually judgment that you have and that you're expressing towards others. And to condemn means to express an unfavorable or adverse judgment upon, and to pronounce to be guilty. So if we're pronouncing someone to be guilty and we have unforgiveness towards them, what we tend to do is we place our own personal punishments on them in order to avenge where we've been wronged. And without recognizing that, it tends to turn into something else, because that anger and that resentment, it will fester and grow. I wanted to also talk
about bitterness. It really turns into bitterness. And if people think about bitterness, there are some people, and I'm just going to keep it real and be honest with you all tonight, because that's the only way I'm going to get through my mess, and that you'll get through yours if you deal with you and you be honest with you. There are some people that even today, when I read about this and think about bitterness, I thought about some candy, you know, just putting bitter candy or the most bitter thing that I could think of in my mouth. And there are some people that I feel that way about, that if they call me, I just get this, it's almost as if I was putting that candy in my mouth just to see that person call, or because I'm there, I'm still back there where I was offended, I was hurt, and I didn't address it at that time. So mm-hmm. I think what that feeling that sets in is that bitterness, and it's just that rooted unforgiveness. So I didn't mean to interrupt you, but please keep going.
But no, that actually what that was just adding in with all of it, because that unforgiving thought is one that causes us to make judgment without a doubt. Although, you know, where in areas where we feel we may need to be avenged, it is based on our perception and what we actually took from the way we felt offended or wronged, however we felt wrong. It doesn't necessarily mean the person may have been trying to do that, because sometimes the person is aware of that offense, and then sometimes we become offended and the person's not truly aware. One thing that a lot of us don't realize is that the mind, when it's closed, it goes through a part of protecting itself. It protects the projection, and it tightens the change, and it just doesn't allow an unveiling to come through. It just doesn't allow a clear unveiling to come through. And so distortion is a clouded mind's purpose. And by that I'm saying that in order to justify its actions, in order to justify rash behavior, in order to justify temper tantrums, in order to justify everything that's being done, it distorts and is able to point the finger of blame without really looking within to see, have I, you know, somehow in any place been a part of this? And a lot of times we don't realize our hands in it. Forgiveness, on the other hand, is still inequality, and it does nothing, and it offends no one with the aspect of reality, nor seeks to twist in its appearances. And so it looks, a lot of times it looks and it waits and it doesn't judge. But a lot of times we don't realize our hand a lot of time in our offenses. And a lot of times when we blame, it's hard when the smoke screen of our actions, when we allow the smoke screen of our actions to distort our view, the first thing we do and we're quick to do is to place blame on others and not be held accountable for our own actions. Now, this is not in every case, but a lot of times we don't recognize our own hand in our offenses. And that's just something I want to make clear, because unforgiveness is so broad.
Yeah, and I think blaming, a lot of times when you're blaming people without considering where do I, and again, not every case that there's that other person is part to blame, because again, there's the other side of people who are truly unhappy, angry with their life, and they are ones that don't see any fault in themselves. And so you are the person that they are blaming. So being angry plays a great part in the way that people offend you or hurt you. And I think we have to be the bigger person and start dealing with these people or people like this at the time that they're offending you, or your perception is that they're offending you. And this made me think about family members. And I'm sure all of you can relate or have related to this. We all have one or two, maybe three or four in a family that just keeps the stuff going, just loves the stuff to be going. Everybody is after everybody. Every family has that person, and maybe we've been that person at some point in time. I don't know. But every family has one or two people. Usually it's one person that truly keeps some stuff going. And I can remember hearing, just not in my own family, but even other families, how you would say, or how people would say, oh, well, you know how they are. Don't worry about it. You know they love you. Just let it go. Well, letting it go doesn't solve anything. Letting it go doesn't help the family member. It doesn't help the friend. Letting it go doesn't help that person deal with, because that is an issue. That is a sickness. There is some deep anger, some hurt, some pain there in that person's life that continues to make them want to create tornadoes in the family, create chaos, you know. So we're not helping, and that's why the New Age forgiveness to me, I call it old school forgiveness, because we've been taught, we've been conditioned to just let it go. Just, you know, well, they love you. You know, it's kind of like people used to say back in the old days, if you were being mistreated, and I'm just going to go with women, they used to hear it all the time, well, is he beating you? Are you hungry? And this kind of thing. Well, then what are you complaining for? And even to the point where if you are being beat, and I know, you know, that goes both ways, male and female. I've even heard some people talk people into saying when they are being beat, well, he is good. He does this. He does that. That's craziness. That's true craziness.
Completely overlook the dysfunction.
Right. It's just craziness. But we've been conditioned to think that we don't. To me, it's just untruth. And I know some people may be saying, well, what does God's word say about, you know, yeah, you see the good in people. No, you don't turn your backs on people. I agree. But the word also says the truth shall set you free. And if you're not telling people the truth about how they are making you feel, how they've made you feel, you're in bondage. You're not free. While that person is going on, again, he or she may not know. So we can say, well, the word tells us to forgive. Yes, it does, and we're not saying that you don't. But there's a way even to forgive, and disowning it is not the way. Not confronting the person is not the way. So, TK, anything before? I have just a few more. We got a few people.
Most of all, I want people to be released from the bondage of unforgiveness. One of the things I posted on Facebook, when we're quick to say, yes, I forgive you, but I'll never forget, and that just tends to be something that we hang over the person's head all along, because, I mean, I'm speaking to the people who are truly seeking to be released from that mental and that physical bondage. So physical and mental bondage is one. If this is mentally binding you, physically you would be bound as well, because you can't move forward when your mind does not align up with your actions. And so most of all, I'm just wanting to reach out to the people who are truly seeking wholeness and the people who are truly seeking to live a life without just merely existing, but truly living an abundant life of a mental and emotional and a spiritual freedom, just most of all not keeping unforgiveness in your heart and truly understanding what it means to forgive. I mean, we stress in so many, many ways, but then there's so many things in when someone has wronged you, you have to forgive them, but then you got to always know that that wrong will, you cannot avenge that wrong, and that wrong, God will correct them in his timing, but you cannot help him out, and you cannot go and try to take care of whoever it was that wronged you, because they will be corrected in God's timing. And so that is one thing, because a lot of us are, you know, our actions may be completely justifiable, especially where abuse, any type of abuse is a part of the problem. A lot of us are wrong, but even, you know, a lot of people are wronged in a childhood to where this is something they had no control of. And, I mean, I'm speaking on areas of, you know, molestation. That's something we had no control of. But in reaching out and going, you know, this person needs a whole lot of healing, but most of all, you cannot go out and avenge your wrong from that person. That has to be God will correct that person, but then you need healing in you, because that will be an entire life of bondage that you keep if you don't release that, and if you don't learn how to forgive that person and even forgive you, and you continue to walk in areas of bondage, because that it builds and that frustration, resentment, bitterness, and anger and hatred, it builds. And I know it firsthand, because I walked that walk for a very long time through my marriage and through my divorce.
Well, I think when you talk forgetting, when you bring forgetting into forgiveness, I think a lot of people try to forget. And really, guys, there is no way to forget. We can't truly forget what has done to us. And particularly,
right, but God doesn't
believe,
want us to harbor on it. He doesn't want it. When you harbor over it, you haven't placed it in
your hands. You're not going to letting it burn. To me, it's just like, when you keep it in and when you say you can't take a vengeance on, I agree, but I do think it's time for truth. It's time for confronting people in a loving way, in an adult way, and you can't always do that. There's some people that you just think you cannot do that with, but it's time, because if you want to free yourself, you're going to have to find a way to work, particularly if this person is going to be in your life, if people are going to continue to be around you, because if not, every time you see that person, for the most part,
right,
however they've offended you, comes back
you
with them.
You feel held captive, right. You feel held captive by what they've done to you, right.
I think we try to be this holy person, like, oh, I forgive this person. And all along, if you just really be honest, no, you haven't. You have not.
You can be human,
so,
right.
And this came across, too. I don't know if any of you ever heard of Sutton's Law. And this was Willie Sutton, who, because I know some people may think, well, again, when you talk about not thinking about the good in people, okay, and again, this is about people who have offended you and your perception they've offended you. And
some people,
we are supposed
it's
to think
hard
of,
to find the good in them. Right. Right. So what about the people where it's hard to find the good in them? Because there are some people out there that exist, right, that it's hard to find the good.
Right. Sutton's Law said, this is Willie Sutton, who was a bank robber, and they asked the silliest question, why did you rob banks? And he said, because mm-hmm. that's where the money is. So basically, he was like, mm-hmm. this going where the money is, that's what I want, I'm going where it is. And bringing that into forgiveness just means we have to talk about those things and bring those things up to the front that we have issues with, things that are going to make us better, that are going to help us become better people. And we have to get rid of that stuff. And just saying, okay, I'm going to forget about it, because a lot of us will say that I'm not going to worry about it. You can't forget about if your perception is you've really been wrong, particularly when a person does something to you over and over again. And most times, if you do not speak up and say something, that person is going to do or say the same thing to you again, or is going to feel like, okay, here's a place where I can do what I want, meaning you. Here's a person or a place where I can get by, I can say, I can do. She or he is not going to defend themselves.
Oh,
and
my,
I think
my,
it's
yeah.
take part on thinking we cannot defend ourselves. I think mm-hmm. totally opposite. I think that I can be as bold.
No, I totally agree on you with that, Tammy. Completely. I don't believe it's healthy, not mentally, emotionally, anything, to conceal something or try to hold it in, because there's no way you can there's no way you can heal if you're concealing so much pain. And so, no, I completely believe that this needs to be brought out to release your bondage from this. And so I do believe that that person needs to be addressed with it. And it's not that you actually forget, but to me, forgetting is when I've given it to God and it's not something I think and harbor on no more. Not that it's just going to sit festering in my mind. When I say I forgive you, but I never forget it. When people say, yeah, I forgive you, but I'm not going to forget it. Of course we're not going to forget it because we're human beings. It's not going to disappear out of our minds, but we're forgetting it.
But when they say that, they haven't forgiven you. I think when they put those two things together, I forgive you, but I'm not going to forget it. It's a done deal right there. You might as well keep moving, go on, do whatever. It's a done deal because they're not there yet. So when you put those two words in the same sentence, you might just know you're not forgiven. We talked about, I want to bring, before moving forward, Tika, if you don't have anything, we have a caller in queue who's been there for a while, so I'm going to bring her in.
Fine. Okay. That's fine.
I believe we have Kim from Memphis. Kim, are you with us?
I am with you.
How are you tonight?
Hello, Kim.
I am great. Thank you. Great topic. Great topic. Great topic.
Good. Thank you. And what do you have to share with us tonight?
Well, to me, the key to forgiveness is not the other person. You really and truly are freeing yourself. So when you forgive someone, it's not about them. It's about you moving on. So when you say, you know what, whatever it is I've done to you, I'm sorry. Whatever you've done to me, I accept your apology. I forgive you. You've actually really freed yourself. Your mind is, you can now move on. You may not ever forget it, but you will be able to move on. And eventually, you will forget about it. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Okay, I do see what you're saying, and it is about freeing yourself because the other person is going and doing their own thing.
They're moving on. Right. They're all, and really and truly, they could probably care less if you forgive them or not because they've already moved on with their lives. It's up to you to be able to forgive that person. You know what I'm saying? If you don't, but you see what I'm saying, Tim? If you don't forgive them, you're the one that's going to be hurt. You're the one that's going to be up crying or up feeling bad or getting mad at everyone. It's not that the other person care less. They've already moved on.
Right, you do have to free yourself. There's a couple of quotes that I found on this, and one of them, interesting enough, said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that prisoner was you. And that's the unknown.
Exactly.
But we are the prisoner in the unforgiveness. So we agree with you on that. I still don't think that even with forgiveness that you will always forget. It'll make it, you'll certainly deal with the person and the situation better when you have fully forgiven them, set yourself free. So I agree. But that's one of the quotes of many that I found just that will confirm what you're saying. Again, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner is you,
really
or is you.
Think about it this way. If you're angry with someone and they've done something to you and they have no clue that they've done something to you, but you're mad, so now you can't concentrate on your job, your head hurts, you have your blood pressure high, now you're sick. That person has moved on. That person don't even know that they've made you angry.
Right.
And
then
you be like, hey, girl, what's going on? And you be like, I don't want to talk to you because you did this to me. Oh, girl, I didn't know I did that. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, and that's why, again, we're saying it is best to go to your offender, if that's the appropriate word, in any situation. And, again, with the in love, you know, it's about how we go to a person as well. And, Kim, something you said, and I think we as women, I'll raise my hand on that one. I used to be really bad about, and in some cases I still am, work in progress. I used to be really bad about thinking people are supposed to know when I've been offended. And people don't always
know.
And if they
don't
always care.
Sometimes they don't always
know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you that's another reason to go to that person. Because once you go, then you at least you know
you
how you made me. You know how I feel about it. What you choose to do about it is totally up to you. But now I know that you know. So when you do it again, it's another game. It's another whole ball.
This is the thing. Can I just say this real quick?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. What'd you say?
I have another caller that I want to bring in, so I'm just going to ask you to hold that for just a second. I want to get somebody else in on it.
Okay.
We have Tasha from Georgia.
Hello?
Tasha, are you on with us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine.
Okay. Hi, Tika.
Hello, Tasha. How you doing?
Hi. I'm good. Thank you. Hey, Tammy.
Hey.
I heard you guys. Hey. I hear what you guys are saying, and I agree with what Kim is saying, but you guys are talking, the subject is great tonight. Forgiveness, and I'll tell you why it was hard for me. I was in a relationship for 10 and a half years, not married, shacking, and as I thought he was the love of my life, but I was going through something, physical abuse, verbal abuse, mentally abuse, being called every name in the book by somebody that I truly, truly loved, and I thought that loved me. But he didn't love himself, so he couldn't possibly love me. But in 2005, I literally ran for my life. And I had resentment, I was bitter, I was angry, couldn't nobody tell me anything. I worship. It was like I was the devil because I was so mad at this one person. Mm-hmm. And I began to start looking in the mirror and looking at myself and start thinking, even though he did this to me, what did I do? You know what I'm saying? I felt like I did something wrong. But in reality, I didn't because I was trying to... I was there from beginning to the end, doing everything I was told to do, being there, doing cooking, taking care of his son, everything that was needed to be done. And I said, you know what, God, I said, this is just too much. I can't take this no more. I'm holding on to the past. I can't move forward. And Kim is right. You can be at work. Your head is on fire. Your brain, you can't function. And then I started saying, you know what? I can't forgive him until I forgive me.
Exactly.
In order to forgive him, I had to forgive me. Because, see, I stayed there for 10 and a half years. Wow. It wasn't him. Even though he did those things, I was so mad at me because I stayed there. I didn't get out. I didn't go get help. I was afraid what the family going to say. We did everything. We went everywhere.
That same and guilt that you're dealing with, right.
It was no trip that we couldn't go on together. They saw cars. They saw the house. But I had to forgive me. And when I began to forgive me, it was much easier for me to forgive him.
Exactly.
And like I'm talking to Tammy, you, and Tika, I can talk to him today.
Mm-hmm.
And I've moved on, he's moved on, but I can still hold a conversation. And some people say, all that he done to you, how can you hold a conversation? Well, you have to think about it. Look what
because
they done to God. And he's still socializing with all of us.
Right.
I think that when it comes to forgiving and forgiveness, I think a lot of time it starts with yourself, being able to forgive yourself for what somebody else has done to you. And being able to, like Kim said, move. Once you let that person know, hey, you've done this, but you know what, I forgive you. It is. It's a freedom that you can't explain. It's like a bird being set free. It's like all that negative energy that was so inbounding you. It's release because you've told this person how you felt. You've forgiven this person. You've forgiven yourself. You've forgiven this person. And life is all better. At least for me, it was. Life was all so much better for me. And I tell you, through it all, God I don't know. If it wasn't for God, I don't know where I'd be today. I promise you, I don't know. Because he makes it so much easier when you give all to God. I mean, everything you got, you give it all to him. He makes it so much easier for you. And that's what I wanted to say about forgiveness. And that's all I have to say.
Tasha, because actually, until you're forgiving yourself, it's impossible to forgive anybody else. Because you become angry at yourself for subjecting yourself to something for so long. So I'm so glad and thankful that you brought that to our attention, because you can't forgive anybody else until you forgive yourself. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too.
Thanks, Tasha. Thanks for sharing such a personal experience with us. And, again, that is, again, what we mean. We have to talk about things like this because, believe it or not, people, they're probably in your circle, you know, there are so many people going through it, and we need to talk about it more. We just had, off the subject a little bit, we just had a young lady here that was killed by her boyfriend, that's allegedly, and I'm assuming that to be true as much as I have heard. And I saw on Facebook today where this young lady actually graduated with an acquaintance, a friend of mine. She was a graduate. She graduated with these young girls. And the young girls had expressed to their mom that this, you know, this was going on, you know, that even back then. So if only she had talked, and maybe she did, we just don't listen. So we need to talk about things. We need to start addressing things. We are Christians. We are the people who are, for better word, we are the people of God. So why is all these happening? Why are we sitting back feeling like we can't tell a person when we feel offended or whatever? Why are we quiet, I guess is what I'm saying. Why are we the underdogs, so to speak? We should be, we got to raise up and speak. We should have dominion over this world, not the other way around. So we have to start talking. And you can't be, Tasha mentioned that, you know, she was afraid of, people saw the house and the cars. We can't be afraid to give those things up. Because we can lose those instantly. They mean nothing outside of your life. Whatever.
Right.
I'll live in my truck if I have to. I'll live with you if I have to.
That's
so we got to be bold. And though, again, what someone else thinks about your life is irrelevant. And we have to get to a place where it's about us and God. It's about you and God and what's right and what's wrong for your life.
Right.
So thank you again, for Tasha, for sharing. Anything else before? Thank you. Anything else before I put you back into the holding mode?
Yeah, I wanted to say that. Oh, sorry, Tasha.
Do we have, is it Kim or Tasha?
This Tasha. No,
Kim.
Thank you guys so much, and God bless.
Okay, thank you again.
Thank you.
Bye, Tasha.
Did you want to say something again?
Yeah, I wanted to say that, you know, Jesus said, forgive 70 times 7. So if we calculate that up, that's a whole lot of forgiving. That's a whole lot of forgiving. So
too much.
We as humans, what we have to do is ask God for the strength and ask him to give us that strength to be able to forgive. Because as humans, we want to hold it in. We want to say, you want to hear this to me? You must be crazy. Why would I forgive him for that? But again, Jesus said, forgive 70 times 70, because he has forgiven us a million times a million. Even for our faults, whatever we've done, we've been forgiven. I've seen it as far as the east is from the west. And so we have to be able to be God-like or Jesus-like and be able to try to forgive like Jesus would forgive. Again, we're human. We have to keep praying about it, keep asking him for strength, keep asking him to give us that strength to be able to forgive. Because on our own, just being Kim can't do it. Kim can't do it. It's impossible for Kim to do that by herself.
Either, and so none of us can in our own self, because what we want to do is, really thought about it, we want to, you know, to do what we do.
We want to.
Thank you, Kim, for sharing. I'm going to put
you back. I enjoyed it. Thank you for me in.
Thank you.
I'm going to back
bye,
to the
y'all. Bye, Tika. We miss you, girl.
Bye. Miss you, too. Miss you, too.
Okay. Again, if you all, we're going to take some more calls in just a second. Remember to select the number one. I am looking at the chat, so if, for those of you who are listening online, I've not seen anything come through. I did open up the chat, and I sent something out. So if you do have something that you want to say, you can feel free to send it in through the chat line. I do have it open, and I am looking tonight. I wanted to bring up one thing. Tika, you had something?
Yeah, I just want to add that the scripture that Kim pulled that from was from Matthew 18:21-22, where Peter asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? And he said, up to seven times, and Jesus answered 77 times, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Mm-hmm. 77.
Okay, you want to give that out to him again?
Yes, Matthew 18:21-22.
Right. I'm sure we all were familiar with that one, and we heard that one so much. I've heard that one recently. Some people have told me that. So it's hard to do.
I really want to leave, and this is with Luke 6:37. It says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. And forgive, and you will be forgiven. And that's in the NIV version.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's in condemning, judging, and forgiving. It's all the same. What we want and what we need from God, we have to make sure that that's what we're doing as well. Not judging, not condemning, and not having an unforgiving heart.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's again hard thing to do, particularly with judging, because it's almost and we say that too, but it's almost sometimes impossible not to. And it's just, I think, the way that you judge and the things that you're being judgmental about. And I think sometimes we just try to make it so strict formed. But again, we can't do those things in our own will. We have to have God. You have to stay you have to be speaking.
Anything, because anything we do, even anything we try to do outside of his will, we are going to make mistakes with it. And so he has to be in everything we do. Otherwise, in our own flesh, we're going to fail. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to mess up. We're going to judge. We're going to condemn. And that's why it has to be his strength and his power that we're living our daily walk in. Otherwise, we're going to mess up and we're going to, you know, bring condemnation on ourselves just because we cannot do it right. We can't get it right.
Yeah. This is another, just basically about two more things that I want to share, and hopefully someone else. We have just about 12 minutes, a little under 12 minutes to go. But this is another quote, and this one was by Nelson Mandela. And
I love that one.
It says, resentment is like a glass of poison that a man drinks. Then he sits down and waits for his enemy to die. And this is what Nelson Mandela said when he was asked, why was he not resentful for his imprisonment? And again, he said that resentment him is like himself taking a glass of poison and then waiting for he had resentment towards, or his enemy to die. But he drank the poison. So that's another.
Yes.
Yeah, that's another.
That's exactly
one. That's
what we do, basically.
It's about freeing yourself. This is a little short story that I came across, and it's for the sake of myself. It's about a little young boy named Johnny, and for me, I almost had to make Johnny a big boy because of the little short story, because I could just imagine this little Johnny being my child. But it's about a story that says, again, this is little Johnny, but for those of you who are real, I won't say real, but mamas who've had some little Johnnies, I could not imagine my little Johnny doing this, but it's a story about little Johnny wanting to have a mud pie. And the mom, of course, says no. And then Johnny does his little fat thing, and he says yes. So they go back and forth, and mommy finally says, I said no. Well, little Johnny storms out to go to his room, crying, whatever they do, closes his door. She can hear him far off in the room, crying, having his temper tantrum. He calms down. She decides about 30 minutes later that she's going to, you know, I call it that guilt parenting, that, okay, I've upset my baby, let me go in or whatever. And little Johnny, I think they said he was 4 years old in the story. So she goes in with his favorite thing of all time, which is a chocolate ice cream cone. And in her eyes, or in her mind, she's going in to make this, I don't necessarily know if you want to say wrong or right, but to make little Johnny feel better. Well, she goes in with the ice cream cone, expecting little Johnny to welcome her in and take the ice cream cone. And it the story ends where little Johnny slaps the ice cream cone out of her hand. Now, the part of the story, I guess the main idea of the story of what they're trying to get you to draw out of it is this was his his most favorite thing in the world to eat, the ice cream cone. But because he still at this point in time, now it's not a story for me because it would have took a whole nother direction after he slapped it out of my hand. But the moral of the story is at this time, although this chocolate ice cream cone was what little Johnny loved more than anything in the world, it didn't matter to him at that time because he was still mad at Mom because she didn't give him the mud pie. Now, me being who I am, I also took it to a different level of thinking little Johnny could have probably been thinking, you could have just gave me the mud pie and we could have, you know, we would not even be here because 30 minutes later, what's the difference in a mud pie and a chocolate ice cream cone if you really think about it? 30 minutes later, nothing's changed, but here you are coming with the mud pie. But that's neither here nor there. Again, the moral of the story is at that time, what meant most to him, and here Mom was doing a kind thing, so she thought, but Johnny didn't care at that time because I'm still angry with you because you didn't give me the mud pie. So even if you give me the thing I love the most, it doesn't matter because I'm still angry or haven't forgiven you for not giving me the mud pie. And I thought about in my own life how many times I do that where someone may be before me trying to do something good, but I'm still where they hurt me. I'm still back to where I've not freed them from that point. So I can't even receive the good. You know, I can't receive this good gesture because we've not gotten past this point here that you left me at or I left myself at because you've gone on. So that was just an interesting story with an interesting twist. And I also thought about a time in my life where, much younger, although I still probably do it now, whereas the similar situation happened. I was about 19 and dating and asked my friend at the time to stop and get me something to eat, and I wanted KFC. I was really hungry. I remember the night so well, but I waited till he passed. He had already passed KFC, which meant he had to turn back around. So he gave the biggest sigh, like, and I took it as, I'm getting on your nerves. You don't want to stop, whatever. How dare you? And so, make a long story short, at that point, I wouldn't have eaten anything from anywhere, whatever, and he did stop. And it's silly me, I did not eat. Now, who was I hurting, him or me? So it's just, again, I was still mad because of the sigh. Did I say what was wrong? What? Nope. We just went past, moved forward later on. So, again, we have to talk it out. I'll conclude my part with Tika, and you can take it on from there. I just want to say throughout life, y'all, we have to learn how to live. And I think in some ways we've been taught how to live and we have some habit-forming ways that we live out. I also think in learning how to live and breaking those habits and those bondages, a part of who we are or who we know ourselves to be has to die. We cannot change without losing some of our old habits, some of our former identity. Doesn't mean you gotta become this total person. There's a difference in forgetting where you come from and getting to a point where you just act like you've never been there. You gotta die to live. Some parts of you have to die, and you have to recognize those parts in your life so that you can move on. You can address those things and move on. Stop walking around saying, I'm okay. Stop walking around letting people think that they're okay when you know that they're not. We listen to the people. We'll stand up and listen to people know that they're lying, tell you whatever they want to tell you about their life, and you're sitting there like, this sucker is lying in my face. And they're sitting there thinking, they are listening to my lie. And they go on and take, and they know you're listening to the lie, and you know that they're lying. You know they're lying, and you know you're listening to the lie. You don't address it. You don't stay there and deal with it. But you go on and you call Johnny Sue and whoever else and tell them, do you know that she stood right here or he stood right here and just lied to me? And we know what's going on. Is that living in truth? No, it's not. How can we move on? How can you help someone by allowing them to think they're okay? Think about that family member where you hear them say, you know how they are, just leave them alone, let them do what they're doing. That's allowing that person to stay in bondage. And I think we are in bondage because we've allowed each other to stay for the sake of, I don't know, what is it? And again, God's words and the truth shall set you free. We're not supposed to walk around lying to one another. So I'll end mine on that. Tika, if you don't have anything else, I do have a few more good quotes that came about.
I would actually like to close with some steps in restoration.
Say that again, Tika. Hello? You want to close with what?
I would like to close with some steps in restoration. Hanging in restoration in this.
Okay.
I found these steps in restoration. I found this is called the Peacemaking Model, and it's by Ron Klassen. And number one is recognizing the injustice. This is upon forgiveness. How do we get there? How do we restore this? Number one is in recognizing the injustice. In biblical language, it's called confession. And it's when you're recognizing the injustice, including mutually recognizing what happened, who did what, what impact did it have, and perhaps is continuing to have. Number two is restoring the equity, and that's in biblical language. It's called atonement. Restoring equity is always some combination of restitution and grace. In some cases, it can be 98% restitution, 2% grace. In others, it may be just the opposite. But it cannot be predicted and can only be decided by those involved. Anyone outside would be guessing. And number three is clarifying future intentions. In biblical language, we call this repentance, which usually literally means turning. Intentions must be clarified in order to prevent reoccurrence of the injustice. An outsider can be helpful and help in making suggestions, but the ones involved are the ones who can decide what it will take. When people who are angry and upset with each other decide to be constructive with each other, mutually agree that the three steps have been complete to the best of their ability, and then keep their agreements that have been made, trust grows between them. And I also want to close leaving you with Colossians 3:13, where it says to bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another, and to forgive as the Lord forgave you. What we need to realize is that we forgive by faith out of obedience to God. And since forgiveness goes against our natural nature, we must forgive by faith. Whether we feel like it or not, we must trust God to do the work in us that needs to be done so that forgiveness will be complete through him.
Okay, great. Well, I just want to end with, we only have a little under 1 minute, a quote, and I'll get as many in as I can. One of them being, when we forgive evil, we do not excuse it. We do not tolerate it. We do not smother it. We look the evil full in the face, call it what it is, let its horror shock and stun and enrage us. And only then do we forgive it. So, again, we got to look it in the face and deal with it. Another one is, we frequently forgive who bore us. Again, we frequently forgive those who bore us, but we cannot forgive those who really bore us. And I think what that is saying is sometimes it's easier to forgive an outsider than it is to give someone that's really close to you. And I think we need to work on that as well. And I think that's because you're just really hurt by people that you love, and it just tears you apart, so to speak. So in ending, thank you all for listening. And again, forgiving does not erase the bitter past. A healed memory is not a deleted memory. Instead, forgiving what we cannot forget creates a new way to remember. We must change the memory of our past into a hope for our future. And that was by Lewis Smead. So, again, forgiving doesn't mean you're going to always forget, but it certainly helps you deal with moving on. Thanks again to all of you who tuned in tonight. If you have anything that you want to share, feel free to log into the show afterwards Well, feel free. Some of you call after the show. Feel free to call us. Thanks for listening, and we really, really appreciate all of you. Thank you, and have a good night.
Happy Lance. Good night.
Good night.